Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the dark, gritty reboot of Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Justin Tyler, Pete LePage, and Alex Zelman!
Hey. Man.
Oh, man.
Amazing.
Wow, what's up, everybody?
Hey, you're
dark, gritty reboot?
What? Yeah, dark, gritty reboot. I'm now...
Your WWE classes are going very well.
Yes, well, first of all, I'm played by an Englishman now.
Oh, cool. That's so gritty. Thing.
It's pretty gritty. Well, that happens for most of the reboots.
There's a thin line between you and a British person already.
It's one cup of tea. I'm one cup of tea for being pushed over the
edge.
Great. Yeah.
I think I'm at my most gritty as is.
Really? Yes. Do you mean covered in grit?
Listen to the gravel in
you
my
definitely
voice.
Are covered in grits. For
it's
those
true.
Of you listening at home, his breakfast is all over him. It's gross.
Yeah. And I don't know how much darker Pete could get unless it was literally a corpse.
Yeah,
stage.
Listen, you guys... I don't want to air our dirty laundry too much right here.
Dirty laundry. Okay. Great. It's a great, you
Punisher
know.
Punisher fan movie made by Thomas Jane.
Thomas Jane, Dirty Laundry.
Yeah. Pete came here, I think. We don't know why yet, but in a little bit of a bad mood.
Yeah.
So this show right here, right now, is dedicated to my good friend Pete.
This show goes out to Pete LePage.
Pete LePage.
That's so nice.
Let's start here. Pete LePage.
Pete LePage.
Listen, for the entirety of the show, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a couple of things because Pete's in a bad mood, and I don't want to make him in a worse mood. So we're not going to bring up how Spider-Man isn't married anymore.
No. Okay, great.
We're not going to bring that
up. We're not going to bring up Frankencastle, the Punisher storyline.
Yeah. Don't bring that up.
Frankenstein monster.
Yeah, don't bring that up.
And we're not going to bring up how Pete's parents died in a plane crash. And
that would be weird to bring up. That has nothing to do with comic books. Also.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying we're not going to bring it up.
That's just a close, sad tragedy. Said strategy, and I was trying to say strategy.
Oh, that's very telling that you called it a strategy instead of a tragedy.
I was there!
Guys, speaking of strategy, part of our strategy tonight is to make you laugh and make you think. And we're going to bring up one of our favorite guests here. He's the host of the Jeff Rubin Show. Ladies and gentlemen, show!
Welcome, Jeff Rubin.
The show.
Welcome. Great to have you.
Hello. Hey,
come on. Sit down.
Have a seat. Stay a while.
Thanks so much for coming in.
What fun. Yeah. What fun.
Do you feel like we created a lot of pressure to...
Not at all.
Great.
That is your show. I feel no pressure.
Well, speaking of dark and gritty, you're one of my favorite video game players
in the
land. And you've been kind of obsessed with the last Arkham game, right?
It's true. I've been obsessed not just with the last Arkham game, but with all of them, with the exception of Arkham Origins, which is kind of the off one for them.
That's the only one I've played.
Yeah, well, Arkham, what happened was, there's one developer, Rocksteady, who made the series, and then they weren't making them fast enough, so they got another developer to kind of, like, fill in a year, and that's Arkham Origins, and it's by far the run to the litter.
It's a substitute teacher of a game.
But Arkham Knight is so good. It's so good, and...
Now, well, I've listened to your podcast, and I've heard you talk about how you're not going to talk about it yet. How excited you are.
Well, I'm going to do... I wanted to give people... Can I just explain, I think, to comic book fans who might not like video games?
Can I speak for a while?
Can I give you 20, 30 minutes?
Yeah.
All right, so there's one thing that I think is key to the game, and it's, like, a little spoilery in that it wasn't, like, in any of the reviews, but it's, like... 15%, it's like an hour or two into the game. So it's not that big a deal. Can I talk about it? Maybe
sure. Yes, I think so. If you don't want to
spoilers.
So
the thing is that Joker dies at the end of Arkham City. He dies. And this game actually opens with his corpse burning. So it's like, all right, Joker is dead.
He's straight up dead.
And kind of a highlight of the first few games is that Joker is taunting you the whole games. And also they got Mark Hamill to play Joker and Kevin Conroy to play Batman. So it's like, that is the correct choice for Joker and Batman.
Sure.
You know?
Yep.
And so that was a highlight. I was kind of I was worried I would miss that in the third one, but they had this other idea where Joker is now in Batman's head, like psychologically because of the events of the previous games. I can't recall. Like basically, Batman is going insane, and the Joker is in his head, and he's seeing the Joker everywhere, and he's like kind of commenting as you go through the game. So a few things. One is just like surprise, Joker's in the entire game is totally awesome. Like you could never do that with a movie. Like if Joker's like in the movie, you're going to hear about it like 3 years early, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
imagine seeing a movie and then like act one, it's like, by the way, Joker is going to be in the whole thing. But then also just putting the Joker there like really gives him an interesting perspective on Batman, because he's like with Batman the whole game, like doing commentary. He knows Batman's Bruce Wayne. So he's like commenting on the Batcave and like the other criminals.
Like heckling.
Yeah, and like, yeah, kind of like he sees Barbara Gordon. And he's like, oh, I didn't even like, I just got lucky. I didn't even know you guys were friends. And it's great. Like, it's really well written. Again, it's Mark Hamill always kills it as a Joker, but here he's given permission to go like even darker than he has been before. And there's a lot of Batman stuff in the game that's good. Like there's Man-Bat, there's Scarecrow, and like some of it's good, some of it's actually quite bad. But the Batman Joker thing is really, really
great. This is something actually I've always wanted to see, like in a Batman movie or cartoon show or video game. Do you actually get to see the moment when Batman's parents die? Because I don't think that's ever come up.
It's been in the previous. They have done it in the previous games.
Yeah,
but it's not really in this one, but they do revisit like killing joke moment.
Wait, they honestly don't do it? Because isn't that like the first Batman
the first
property that doesn't show
his
parents?
They're showing it in fucking Batman v Superman.
It's been in the other games. Yeah. Like,
which is
they did Arkham Origins, which is a whole origin story.
Right,
and then also in the previous game, you could like visit Crime Alley and there was like a little moment. They don't do that, but they do revisit the Killing Joke, some of the Killing Joke stuff, and also some of the Death in the Family stuff.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. So it's really... it's got a lot of cool Batman stuff in it. Some of it works, some of it doesn't. At the risk of it starting an internet, of igniting the internet, that series has not been terrific with women. Like Catwoman and Batgirl, like they're not great with those characters or the way they're designed. But the Batman Joker stuff is so good, and it really managed to find like a fresh take on the Joker Batman relationship that I hadn't seen before. And on my podcast, I recently interviewed this Batman expert who I've had on the show a few times, and he talks about just different mediums of Batman. Mm-hmm. You get to experience different angles of the character. And I think that's really true with this video game, that you really get to put yourself in Batman's head. And you are thinking, it's really a Batman simulator. You're like, all right, I'll take out that guy, then I'll swing over there. And it really gets you thinking like Batman, and goddamn, I love it.
I gotta say, Jeff, sorry to interrupt it once again, but you talked more passionately about that than most creators talk about their life work.
I love this game. I mean, I think it's like a 9 out of 10 as a video game, but it's like an 11 out of 10 as a piece of Batman material. So like combined, it's really great. And Batman video games were so bad for so long. There's like a long history of Batman games, so that they've recently not only cracked it, but also managed to make like an amazing game that happens to be a Batman game and does great service to the Batman myth, I think is like really worth celebrating.
So when I played video games a lot, like when
I'm congratulations.
No, what a brag.
When,
hey, you read comic books too, man?
Wow,
you're
really killing it.
Yeah, I'm pretty cool.
And got a mixed drink in your hand? That's weird.
When I've played video games a lot, like particularly I think the Grand Theft Auto series, if anything, you start to picture it as you're going around in kind of the worst way.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, I could steal that car, maybe. Do you get like that with Batman?
A little bit. There is an official name in that, like, there's a Wikipedia page for it, I believe, called the Tetris effect, where when you stop playing a video game and you start seeing it in places.
I had that bad with Dr. Mario.
I would close my eyes and
see pills dropping.
Yeah. That's particularly bad because he's not an actual doctor.
Yeah, I know. It was terrible. I became addicted to pills for so many years after that. It's a bad role model, Dr. Mario.
The Tony Hawk games really do that to me, because the Tony Hawk games are about like these concocting these like skateboarding lines. And when I'm into a Tony Hawk game, which I haven't been in some time now, but you walk around and you're like, all right, I could ramp off that building down the clothesline. The Batman games do it too a little bit because the way you get around the city is so fun. You like, you know, you've got the grapple gun and you can like soar and swing. It's like a little probably more fly-y than what you're used to for Batman, but it's not crazy and it works. And yeah, I definitely see it and I'm like, yeah, I wish I could just fly over this building right now.
You imagine yourself flying?
So what's the next big comic book-based video game?
I don't know, because I'm really curious to see what this developer Rocksteady does. There's a few Superman references in this game. Like, there's a LexCorp building, and, like, people... So there's some speculation they might do that.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
Well, even... I mean, even worse than Batman games is Superman games.
Superman 64 is like...
Superman, there's never been a good game.
That's probably right. There's some decent... I mean, Superman's... I mean, this was true of Batman, too. In retrospect, now it looks easy to make a Batman game because like we've seen how it's done. But Superman, it's kind of hard to figure out how you make a game. There's one game called Superman Returns. I think it's Superman Returns. It's like around that era anyway.
Oh, is that the one where you sneak around creeping on kids?
Wow. Okay.
So this game is the think I played the demo because it was out like right when I got a 360 and I was just like downloading whatever demo you could. And the game wasn't good, but they had an interesting way of doing Superman because you can't kill Superman, right? So like how do you make that a game? And the way it worked was like the city had a health bar and you couldn't die, but you had to stop things before the city took too much damage.
Wow, Man of Steel would not do well in that game.
No. But I think that's a pretty good solution to that's an interesting idea for a Superman game. Like, it's not about you dying. It's about stopping everything before the city dies.
That's really smart.
I could see that working. And the flying. And this game is almost 10 years old already, but the flying was really cool. And, like, I could see it working. But honestly, I think Superman's kind of not as popular as Batman. So, I don't know, right? Yeah.
No, what? Definitely. Except for the movies.
Right. Yeah, if Superman wasn't
I'm not saying anyone's better or worse.
Batman into his movie or something.
Yeah, I just think like all things being equal, a Batman game because the movies are so popular and so forth, like sells more than a Superman game. So
What comic book property would you want to see?
I'd really love to see is Rocksteady. This won't happen because now I don't have to explain to you guys. Spider-Man's owned by a different company.
Yeah.
But I'd love to see Rocksteady, this company, take on Spider-Man because they did a really good job working in Batman's Rogues Gallery into the Arkham series, and I think Spider-Man's probably got the second most interesting Rogues Gallery. He's got a fun way of getting around the town that really hasn't been done well since the Spider-Man 2 video game from the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man franchise.
Yeah. Did you play the Ultimate Spider-Man game, though?
I think I played a little bit of that one. It was like kind of cartoony. Fun. That one's all right. But Spider-Man 2 is the only one that really nailed the web swinging, and like you see it brought up now and then. And I just like I think a Spider-Man game where someone did a modern take with fun swinging combat. Every game since the first Arkham game is basic. This is putting aside Batman. It was kind of hard to come up with a way to make someone fight 50 people and be fun. Like it's basically been the same from Double Dragon to Arkham Asylum. The first
Double Dragon.
They came up with a fun way to fight multiple people that like feels like you're in control. Where you're actually doing something, but it also looks totally sweet. I'd love to see, like, I think Spider-Man lends itself to cool getting around the city, cool rogues gallery and stories, and cool combat. So I feel like I'd love to see a great Spider-Man game. And it's frustrating because there's, like, a Spider-Man game every year. And after Spider-Man 2, I feel like I paid attention to the first three after that. Like, Ultimate Spider-Man is one of them, but I don't even pay attention anymore because they just haven't been that great.
What would you guys want to see? Which DC-based hero?
I cheated because I said Spider-Man.
Yeah, the big cheat. I would say, I mean, this is maybe an unpopular answer, but Green Lantern.
Because very unpopular.
I feel like you get so creative with his powers and using let the player imagine different ways for him to use the Green Lantern.
How about this? A Wii U or iPad or iPhone Green Lantern game with a touch screen. So you're like drawing what's coming out of his ring and you have to solve problems.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Something where you can really be the one creative.
Yeah, I don't want to like pick just like boxing glove car. I want to like draw the thing.
I want to be the one that's making
that'd be really cool.
Yeah.
Well, like Scribblenauts, right?
Yeah, Scribblenauts, which there is a DC Comics version of, I believe. You type things and you don't draw them. I want to like. But yeah, so
that is much less fun.
I would say with your idea of like saving the city, like Hawksmoor, where it's like he uses the city, you know, and he can like jump off buildings and stuff like that. So that would be kind of cool.
I'm sorry, who'd you say?
Maybe I'm saying the name wrong. It's
Hawksmoor?
Yeah,
from the Authority.
From the Authority. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
His guy, his power is mostly that he's barefoot, I think.
Yeah, and that's
cool. And then he can like
who likes shoes, especially in the summer.
He hates shoes.
Yeah, he can jump and fight and all that kind of stuff, but like. The city, it, like, talks to him and lets him know what's going on and stuff like that. And then he can just, like, run around and beat ass.
Cool. There's not a lot of these, you know? Like, big single-player games, they don't make... Like, all the money's kind of in multiplayer and, like, free-to-play games. And Arkham's sort of grandfathered in because it's such a huge franchise. But they don't make, like, Arkham, I mean, it feels like it costs a ton of money. I mean, it looks so good at all times. It's just, like, the best-looking video game. Yeah.
How many
tons
bits
of production.
Is it? Is it 8 bits or 16 bits?
I think it's 14. I think it's 14 not quite
bits. Oh, what an odd choice.
Yeah, that's right in the middle.
There's two
but
bits
just, like,
missing.
I don't know that there's going to be another game like Arkham anytime soon. You know, there's like nothing that I'm aware of coming out just because these big single-player games are increasingly rare.
Well, let me ask you about this. This is the stupidest way of phrasing it, but could a video game ever like pull a Beyonce? Could they just be like, oh, a surprise? It's here's a Superman game.
That's a good question. You know, it kind of happened.
What?
It's sort
That's a fine way to talk about this.
No, it sort of happened a few weeks ago with at E3, which is like the big video game event of the year where they announce all the new video games. And while they were announcing Fallout 4, which has been highly anticipated, they were also like, we also made a little side project called Fallout Shelter, which is kind of like a tiny tower-ish thing.
Oh,
where
I
like,
played that.
Yeah, you're building a little Fallout Shelter on your phone. And they were like, by the way, it's available right now. And it was like available that night. So that's not – I don't know that they would – the games are just so expensive. It's hard to imagine them like suddenly releasing Fallout 4. But that's like a close example.
It's like a tiny Beyonce.
Yeah, it's a tiny
mini
Beyonce.
Mini Beyonce, sure.
Yeah.
Her name's Blue Ivy.
I don't know. I don't keep up with it as much as you.
It's cool. Jeff, plug your stuff. What should people check out?
My podcast, the Jeff Rubin Show, where I interview people about cool and fun stuff. We recently had the World Paper Airplane Champion on. That was a good one.
Very good.
And we talk about comic books and movies and stuff. And I'm going to make videos at YouTube, Jeff Rubin. You'll figure it out.
All right. Very cool. Check all that out. We're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah, we do.
We love calling it that. Here, I'm going to just show this for 1 second. So in the stack, we're going to talk about comic books we particularly liked this week. Go to bat for them.
Yep.
First one, this is Pete's pick, Pete's memorial pick, Rip Pete. The Punisher number 20 from Marvel Comics.
If Pete now, likes Pete, it, we all like it.
The Punisher, this is a character I've heard of before. A lot of people like this character.
Yeah, explain what's so endearing about this man.
Yeah, what's so wonderful about him?
He's a man who decided that the law is broken, and he's going to take the law into his own
hands.
Right,
now correct me if I'm wrong, but it started with he hates picnics, right?
He had a problem with a picnic.
Yeah. He was like, where's my picnic basket?
Yeah. Yogi Bear was the first Punisher.
You guys having a good time? Good.
I think so. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure.
Sorry, this is your show.
Uh-huh.
Please.
How quickly it's turned.
we're supporting you. Right?
Yeah, you're real supportive.
You're welcome.
You sons of bitches. This comic is just like, I really like this comic because it's a classic, I think, kind of Punisher comic where you just have a bunch of amazing action and him whooping ass. And then at the end, it's not looking good for our boy there.
No, he dies.
Well, you're... fuck you, because I'm always saying, like, oh, the guy's probably done at the end. And you're like, no, it's the last panel. There's another issue coming
out. Well, it's not like we're going to never see the Punisher again. But he literally is shot. He doesn't finish his sentence. And then the world ends.
The fade, now that I'm looking at the panel,
I thought it was just Electro. I thought it was just Electro because there's...
to be fair, the cover also says The End.
Yeah, and the title is The Last Days of Punisher.
Well, Days. Yeah. Days. There could be another issue in there.
You think he's got another day left?
If you actually look at the last page says, hey, Pete, in case it wasn't clear, the Punisher is dead.
Oh, yeah, and very tiny
letters. Yeah, but that could mean so many things.
That's true.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you should have to celebrate him now that he's gone?
Dude, fuck you. He's not gone, all right?
I know. If only there were a way another person could pick up a bunch of guns and shoot people.
You can't. There's no
he's
way.
He's so special.
He's so unique.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
So what were your thoughts on the very murkily named Final Punishment?
Final Punishment Part 2.
It is Part 2, to be fair. So there could be a Final Punishment Part 3.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's true.
There isn't.
This is definitely the end of just the Punisher. Be clear. I thought this was the art's amazing in this. There's this great thing where the Punisher's skull shirt has like a bunch of sparklers on it.
Fuck you, asshole!
That's what it is.
Don't fucking degrade it. It looks fucking cool.
I'm saying it's cool. It looks like a flare.
Who doesn't like sparklers?
It's a skull flare.
Oh, flares are cooler than sparklers.
Sparklers make it seem like there's schoolgirls holding them. Going,
no, he's here. He writes his name with his chest in the air. It's very cool.
No, he does not.
He does. It's very cool. It's like the 4th of July.
He finds some criminals and he's like, "Happy July 4th."
He's look, not every,
everybody gets a pass today.
It's not,
celebrate America.
Who wants to see me eat 10 hot dogs?
It's kind of like a road flare more than sparkles. Yeah.
Thank
I would say.
You. Okay. Yeah, that's great.
I don't
Jeff.
Quite understand how he's like shooting flames out of his chest constantly. But
it doesn't make a lot of sense, but it is very cool.
It is cool that we can agree on.
Yeah,
because that would
cool.
be very hot against his chest. If that
maybe it's glowing,
whether it's a flare or a sparkler.
You guys, did you want to move past the first page?
No, that's all I read. I read the first page.
No, this is great. I mean, Nathan Edmondson did a great run on the Punisher. I don't know. Is he continuing post Secret Wars? Do you guys know?
He better be.
I don't think he is. But,
okay. Yeah, but man, we'll had a great run on the title. It was very good, very different. Mitch Sherard does the arts on that. Interesting thing. He also did the color and pretty much everything.
It's
and
beautiful.
It's a gorgeous looking issue.
It's good looking.
It's so interesting. I think how ostensibly just straight up violent characters like the Punisher inspire the best often in writers and artists. You know, you could, honestly, you could do like a very straightforward, just like, yep, he goes out and kills some people, done.
Which is what it was for like 20 years.
for 20 years, but every once in a while somebody comes in and does something great. It feels very Daredevil-esque to me in a way.
Nice, man. Dark fucking, Dare. That was moving. Thank you for that.
No problem. Happy birthday, Pete.
Thanks.
I read this. I enjoyed it. I thought that, does Punisher often fight terrorists these days? Is that new for him?
Lately he's been getting political.
I probably haven't read a Punisher comic since, you know, things happened, so I'm unaware.
Are you talking about the Berlin Wall falling?
Yeah. So I'm familiar with the
character. It is a little weird.
But I sort of traditionally imagine him in New York, like, shooting at people or Spider-Man or something.
People. he's been in L.A. and then he was in Mexico for a while. He's had quite a trip.
Yeah,
it's not a huge leap. Like, I was like, God, he's shooting terrorists now. Like, I didn't need to go read the Wikipedia page to catch up or anything.
And honestly, what prompted it is he heard the world was ending. He was like, well, I better get over to the terrorists and kill them now.
Yeah. Smart move.
Yes, smart
move. You know,
move.
It's like one of those super things smart. Where it's like, why, you know.
Yeah, he's got a to-do
list. He's got a
and
bucket
terrorists.
List and he's got to get it done. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is cool how they found like a pretty grounded Punisher story. Like, I knew Secret Wars was going on. I opened up the first page, and it's like, the multiverse is collapsing. I'm like, I don't know how this is going to go for the Punisher, but it's basically just a Punisher book.
I'm going to shoot the sun in the face.
Exactly. Yeah. Isn't that in the Punisher movie, isn't he like, I'm saving one bullet for God? I think that's a line in one of the Punisher movies.
I've seen all three Punisher movies, come to think of it. I actually like the Thomas Jane one a little bit.
Yeah,
that's nice.
Good.
Yeah.
Pete's a big Jane apologist.
Yeah, me too. It's like an 80s... If you like 80s action movies where dudes are like, and like their arms are flailing, it's like their squibs are blowing up.
Sure, doesn't it? So I haven't watched the full Thomas Jane Punisher movie, but I do know it takes 45 minutes... before he finds a skull shirt in the
ocean.
It's
his origin story, you piece of shit.
He finds a shirt
what
in the
kind
ocean?
Of origin story do you need for the Punisher? You don't need 45 minutes to explain how
you're
he
really
found a shirt.
I
could go outside and find a shirt in 5 fucking minutes.
Wait, yeah, you don't have an original origin story. That's
you
why.
Would rather have him silkscreen a Punisher shirt? A skull shirt?
Yeah, just really work in the crap.
The Punisher origin scene in that movie where they kill his family is brutal. They kill like 25 members of his... It's not just like his wife and kids. It's like his entire...
Yeah.
Can I say one more thing about that Punisher movie? Is at the end they go, there's a line that I remember very clearly where Rebecca Romijn, he's leaving her, and he's like, I'll still be working, watch the papers. And she goes, what section? Like, what a setup, right? Like, who would say what sec?
The funnies.
And he goes,
Arts and Leisure.
The obituaries. But it's just like, why would, who, like, can you just see that on the script? The screenwriter being like, oh, this is going to be good.
Yeah, actually, if you watch the extended version, it went on for a while where he's like, Arts and Leisure. She's like, what page? And he's like, 12.
Beneath
column?
The jungle.
First column.
Yeah.
Right above the fold. Yeah. Look for my byline.
All right, they cut my last piece, but it's going to end up online.
I'm talking to my editor. He's very good, feeling very good about this one. So,
newspapers are dying, so I'm trying to move online.
Yeah, I started a Blogspot. All right, let's move on to your pick, Grayson, number 10.
Yeah,
DC Comics. Do you want to talk about this one a bit?
It's a great book. It's written by Tom King and Tim Seeley. Work on it together. Tim Seeley has been writing the actual scripts lately. And it's
writing the crap out of it.
He's been, I mean, that's a great way to say writing the crap. It's a compliment to his work.
Yeah. He's doing an amazing job.
It is very good. This is like Tim Grayson used to be Robin. He was Batman for a while. He's had a lot of great jobs. And in this, he's a super spy. And it's really fun. It feels like what the Bourne identity would be if it were in a superhero universe, and it's beautifully drawn. It's a great comic.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, it's very twisty and fun, and this is something I think we talked about when the comic first came out. It's a weird idea to take somebody who is a superhero, strip them completely of their superhero identity, because normally, most of the time, they have no character other than that.
Yeah.
But here, you're really finding out what Dick Grayson's character is.
I mean, he was in the circus. He's got a backstory.
He's got a backstory. The circus.
Yeah. Great start.
Here he's mixing up with Lex Luthor, and it's a ton of fun.
Yeah, that was a fantastic moment when Lex Luthor showed up.
Yeah, it's great. If you like spy movies, if you like superhero stories, this is the perfect blend of it. Yeah.
Exactly. Very good. Pick it up.
All right, let's move on with my pick. This, if you can believe it, if you didn't know, this is actually one comic book. This is Fables 150 from Vertigo Comics.
Yeah. The very last issue.
Which is also volume 22 of Fables. Which is insane.
Cool, yeah.
So
cool.
You read this, right, Jeff?
No, I have read...
Oh, no, you didn't read this entire volume right before the show?
I read, the first two volumes of Fables, 10 years ago, maybe, back when I saw the Punisher movie or whatever I was talking about that happened 10 years ago. And it's cool, something frustrating about comic books, as someone who, I buy, five graphic novels a year, and then maybe I read, five more that I borrow from friends. So, I read them, but I'm not buying them every week like you guys, is that... God, they're slow. It sucks. When I get the first I get into something, I read the first two volumes, and it's awesome. And I'm like, well, now I gotta wait 10 years to see how it ends. So I remember enjoying Fables, and now that it's complete and I can bomb through the whole thing, I'm kind of interested in revisiting it. So I'm very on edge to hear if you guys are gonna tell me that it stuck the landing or not.
Well, what do you guys think? How do you feel about it?
I thought I got this. This was. I was at first upset by how expensive it was, but this was really well done and was for a last issue, sometimes they make them bigger, $5.
But the characters talk about how expensive the comic is in the comic. It's a little fun. They really dwell on it.
But
it's too much. It's 50
this
pages.
Is really...
Snow White is sorry, guys.
I feel like this is a great way to end it, and it does such a great job. I really thought it was powerful and great ending, and it did a great job of building up to this giant war and, really was a fantastic ending for the book and tied in a lot of loose ends. And then you had some fun stories that you got everybody's last story, and there was some really touching moments. I felt did a great job of summing up such a great piece of work.
Yeah. I really liked almost all of it, but then I felt like it was rushed at the very end of the actual breakdown of what happened.
Well, I feel like story-wise with Fables, what was going on with Fables probably ended a couple of arcs ago. They finished up, obviously, years ago at this point, the whole stuff with the adversary. For those of you who have literally never read it, the basic idea is that all of the fairy tale characters, all of the story characters lived in this land. They were driven out by an adversary and moved to New York.
Just
that was
like
the original concept of the book. It's spread out from there. We've learned more about the characters. They've interacted. They beat the adversary years ago. Other villains rose.
Who is Geppetto?
Yeah, who is Geppetto? Other villains, even nastier than him, arose. Things changed. And I feel like the last couple of arcs, the whole stuff about Snow White versus Rose Red, it's been okay, but it felt like it came out of nowhere a little bit to me.
Right. But I like the setup. He talked about the history that all of the daughters had to kill each other from their family line and all this. That was all very cool. And they build it up, and then this, it's just it's not actually what you thought.
Yeah.
And then we don't ever deal with it. And I was just
They dealt with it. They dealt it with it in a mature way that was, I thought, very appropriate.
I know. Yeah. I love a great action movie that ends where they're like, you know what? I guess we have more in common than we thought. See you tomorrow.
if you watch
a Punisher movie where him and the villain...
That's two separate things. We're talking about Fables, and then you're talking about an action
movie.
Both
are stories, and both require conflict. And this one, sort of, they're like, I guess we're friends, actually.
Yeah, but this is a very artistic telling of something in a way that has been different from the beginning. So the fact that the big battle scene was also different, I thought was very smart.
What's your favorite movie, Pete?
Uh-oh. Pete, let me just say, it's a trap.
Yeah, I know. After all these years, I know it's a trap.
I'm just curious.
I can't help myself.
Apropos of nothing, he wants to know what your favorite movie is.
Fred to Fred, it's your show. What's your favorite movie?
If I had to guess, Tommy Boy. Am I right?
It's up there.
I've been over to Pete's apartment like a handful of times, and he's always been watching Tommy Boy.
Right, but what's your favorite movie other than Tommy Boy?
Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters. Okay, so let's take Ghostbusters. All right.
Sure.
So
sure.
Climax of Ghostbusters. Great climax, right? Where they're all facing down the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Stay Puft Marshmallow Man's coming to destroy the city, take over the world.
Well, Ghost are the Gazarian.
Yeah,
right. Really
in the guise
Puff, just
of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
We all know what Ghostbusters.
What if? Right. Okay, Stay Puft Marshmallow Man's approaching. They're trying to stop him with the proton packs. They can't stop him. They're like, wait a second. I have an idea. What if we talk to him about it?
Well, fuck you, man. That's a completely different thing.
And then Stay Puft Marshmallow Man is like, I agree.
Yeah.
Fables. Let's talk about it.
And you don't think Fables is... You can't, you're comparing two separate things, though, and trying
but
to mush them together.
It's all the same storytelling.
Yeah.
So it's like... So anyway...
You can't tell me that there's differences in stories, and the way this story was set up was different than how an action story might be set up.
That's true, but I will say that, like, I didn't mind that they found a way to agree and not fight, because I thought that was sort of interesting, and I think Bill Willingham's trying to make a point about, like, war in
sure.
general. It's like, if we actually look at it, we don't have to kill each other. Right. But I wanted more resolution with the characters.
Well,
they just
okay.
literally...
Well, that's
literally
a different statement,
with,
then.
Literally, they're like, oh, well, let's not fight. I'll see you in 1,000 years. They literally say that. And yeah. then you, at the end, it's like, hi, how are you? And it's a big spread of all
yeah.
the characters.
I will say, though, that his point with a lot of this, I think, is that the stories continue, right?
Right.
Right.
So you have the first half of the volume is all finishing up the main story of Fables. The second half is the last Fable stories. But literally none of these stories are actually the last story. They're just the last story that Bill Willingham is writing.
Is it right. like the 6 Feet Under finale?
No, it's not. It's the opposite of that. Because you don't see anybody die. It's just the last story that Bill Willingham is going to write about these characters.
Right.
So it's an interesting thing. I mean, he's pointing out these stories have continued. They never die. They yeah. keep going on.
These aren't his
That's
characters.
Kind of yeah, exactly.
In the beginning, he just this is his take on all the fables of the world. And all
right,
that.
And he's giving them back to everybody.
So read all the fables.
It was great.
Read all the fables. Yes,
yeah.
it is
yeah,
very
yeah,
good.
It's great.
Yeah, it's very good. There's one. There's a great arc where the kids of Bigby Wolf and Snow White all they are born, and then a couple of them go. One of them goes and gets lost in the sort of island of misfit toys, and then her brother goes to search for her. And then he makes a great sacrifice. And in this, the one page of his last story did sort of make me well up.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's in like a void because he died. And he's like, what's going on out there? Come find me.
Yeah.
I'm lost here. And it was super sad.
Yeah.
That is sad.
So, but
that
worth picking up, right?
Yeah, I think it's
cool.
It's worth it. I've read every issue over all these
yeah.
years. Have you guys
Me
tried
too.
the Fable video games, which are apparently quite good?
The Wolf Among Us?
Yeah,
yeah.
I've not played
great.
Them, but they're highly regarded.
Yeah, they're good. I played the first one, and then I got busy.
Does he? And then you got busy?
Whoa!
Yeah, dude. All you got to
oh,
do is play that game. That's the secret.
The Fables video game.
Whoop, whoop.
Great. Well, congratulations to Alex. I guess it's
yeah,
sort of his show,
you.
Too.
Hey, that's my present to you, dude. Is that weird?
Creepy,
is it weird that I said that?
Yeah, it's a real...
Speaking of creepy, let's go out to the audience!
Yay!
All right, guys. It is time for your audience questions, where you can ask literally anything you want. You can ask something for our amazing guest, Jeff. You can ask something for all of us. You can get some free comics. And today, only some free DC Universe DVD movies!
Nice.
So ask some really good questions, you guys. All you need to do is raise your hand.
I just have a question.
Right over here. I saw for your stand up. What's your name, sir?
My name is Baki.
All right, what's your question?
Man? Well, with the apparent popularity of the trailer for Suicide Squad, what B-list or Z-list villains would you like to see brought to the forefront in a motion picture?
Nice. Ooh. I love that
question.
Great question.
Great question.
The Suicide Squad trailer
yeah,
is
so
very
good. I would, we touched upon this, I think it was last show, but Manhunter, I would love to see.
Manhunter is a hero.
Well, he's saying villain. What
Ooh,
villain.
Oops.
Be villain, so like a main hero's villain.
Unless you look at women as a villain.
Fuck you, asshole.
I mean, I'm just saying. It's,
fuck you.
You probably shouldn't say that.
That one wasn't even a trap. It was just bad. It was just bad toward you. what B-level villain?
You know, I would say I would love to see Superior Foes of Spider-Man. I don't know if you guys read that book, but it was
Great
so
book.
Awesome and so much fun. It basically took all of his C-level villains and put them in a hilarious, heist thriller that kept twisting and turning on itself. Awesome, awesome book. Definitely read it if you haven't picked it up. And I think it would be a really cool, different way of hitting a Spider-Man movie versus a Sinister Six or just another Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, where they were bad at what they do. And also the stakes were super low. Like, they were just trying to rob
They just
bang.
Hate each other and are constantly trying to dick each other over. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's very cool. I got one.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the thing I know the most obscure villains from is probably Batman. And I want to say Clock King from Batman. Clock King on Suicide Squad. You want to see him join the Suicide Squad? No. I thought that was the question. Who do you want to join the Suicide Squad?
No. Would you want to see a Clock King solo feature?
Well, that would be terrible. That would be terrible.
Sure.
who would be Clock King? I mean, I feel like that's a...
Maybe Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson. Well, age him a couple of years. I guess that's a role waiting
for
him.
I have a particular set of clocks.
Yeah. that's great. Oh, Clock King. That makes me think of the great Batman the Animated Series episode, Almost Got Him, where the villains are sitting around playing poker, talking about how they almost killed Batman.
Yeah.
If that would be a great scene in any movie, first off, and them getting together to try to actually kill him, I think that would be a great premise.
Cool. Pete, what about you? Do you want to stick with Manhunter?
No, I don't. But, I don't know. I don't know what B-villain...
You only deal with A-level villains.
Well, yeah. I mean, I would like to just... I feel like it always upset me as a kid reading these comics. Like, why don't the villains team up more? Like, they have the same problem. Why don't they just do
that? Yeah, but they can't keep it together because they're too crazy.
Communication, it's key in all relationships, and they don't have it. Yeah.
Oh, you know what would be a great movie? Like a Mephisto movie where he's like going after people's marriages.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that wouldn't be
great.
That'd
be a great reality show.
It would also be
Mephisto,
a real
Mephisto the Wedding
comic.
Breaker.
Yeah. You broke your fucking rule, you piece of shit. You said you weren't going to talk about it.
No, I didn't talk about Spider-Man being permanently unmarried.
Nope.
I talked about Mephisto. It's
a
totally different thing.
Nope. And let me just say, you've set a new record of calling Alex a piece of shit. So that's exciting as well.
I don't think so. I think if we went back... I'm sure there's a couple of shows
Check
in there
the
where
stats.
I call them
astute listeners, write in and let us know.
Cool. You're going to get some free comics and maybe a free DVD movie. Maybe give them the Justice League Gods and Monsters. It's all about Justice League becoming villains and bad guys. So there you go.
Oh, that looks good. That was really good. It was good. The comic just started coming out this past week. I bought the first issue, and it was great. Written by J.M. Demetrius.
Cool. Let's get another question. You, sir, all the way in the back.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Coming over to you. Yeah, if you could come up over here. What's your name, sir?
Hey, it's Rolando.
Hey, Rolando. First time at the show?
I'm here every now and then.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I don't recognize you, so...
It's the face.
Great.
Yep.
Oh, sorry. We asked you a question.
Yeah, I did. Happy birthday, Pete.
Thank you.
If you...
And it was Pete's birthday.
What would have... If you had...
Oh, is that what you're mad about? I posted on Facebook and everything.
I'm not mad about that, you piece of shit.
I saw the alert come up and I was like, happy birthday.
Rolando has a question.
Way to put yourself out there, Alex.
Yeah.
Wow, you said happy birthday on Facebook? You guys must have been great friends.
Yeah, yeah. Not fucking real life.
I saw the alert come up and I was out there posting.
Yeah, what did you do? What did you do?
I said happy birthday and I...
When?
Last week and this week. Because it bookends covering your bases.
Great.
Yeah.
I did it in person.
Great question, Rolando.
It was great. If there's a video game of your life, what would some of like the objectives be?
And How dare you?
Yeah. I don't know if you guys have ever played Boy and His Blob, but if so, definitely be eating jelly beans.
Nice. Wait, you'd be the blob?
Yep.
Always wanted
to try a ketchup jelly bean.
Yeah.
Maybe I'd turn it into a ladder.
That's too bad.
Rampage.
He's saying what would be a level in your video game. Rampage is like... So you would just climb buildings and punch them.
Yep.
Okay,
so
cool.
Basically, what's your Tuesday?
I play that. What buildings are you mad at?
All of them.
Cool.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear, by the way, that The Rock is potentially going to star in a Rampage movie, which is the most amazing news of all time?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's weird because Rampage is like... it's like a pastiche, I guess, of like King Kong and it is a move. It's like a video. We're going to see a movie based on a video game
that was based on movies. So it's like a copy of a copy of a copy.
That's
it's
where we deep. Are right now. Yeah.
Literally, The Rock's last movie was San Andreas, which was him watching buildings fall down. So I don't know what the... There's not a big departure.
Well, do you think he'll play one of the monsters, right? Like King Kong or whatever?
Oh, man.
I want to see The Rock eat a building. One
You think he's going to be a monster?
No.
I feel like he's going to be a man.
No.
I hope he... I
Have
hope
you
he...
watched
Let
Ballers?
Us know, The Rock.
Will the monsters be the good guys or the bad guys? Because in the game, it's you are the monster, but presumably the movie's about The Rock stopping the monsters, right?
Well, it depends on if it's in a city we all dislike.
Well, are they adapting Rampage World Tour or the original Rampage?
Oh. The question that no one thought we would ask.
So I have an answer for the actual question, I like biking around the city, which is why I'm a sweaty mess right now.
Site bike?
That could be. I did city bike. I have my own bike. But sometimes a city bike, for various reasons, I city biked here, and biking around the city is extremely dangerous. And would probably make it's not really dangerous.
So it's like Paperboy.
I think it's like Paperboy. I think you can make a cool game about biking around the city and not dying, and not like a race game, just like, you know, navigating between cars.
Live
and stuff.
Action.
Yeah.
My life as a video game would be like Myst, but with like drinking and comic books.
So it'd be like Tapper.
So just like very still.
Great. It'd be like investigating the morning after.
That definitely explains why you're always like.
Wow, deep
nice
reference
visual
to all you,
bit on the podcast.
Deep ref for all you original Mac owners.
Yeah. Maybe one level is what you go to the subway and you try to guess where the door is going to stop.
Yeah,
and then you get in the subway.
And I'll tell you
up.
What, that's hard.
That's a game. That's a game.
Cool.
You never die because we don't
die
in our lives.
You're going to get, what do we have? What's the other thing? Is it Scooby-Doo meets Kiss?
We have Scooby-Doo meets Kiss.
Oh, Rolando
right,
would
there
love
we go.
That.
You're going to get that. Enjoy that movie.
Wow.
Okay. Let's get another question. Kiss. Absolutely any. You, sir, you raised your hand early. What's your name, sir?
I'm Batman.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
Sorry. Wow.
Sorry about
I
that.
I have questions for you.
Sorry we spoiled how your parents did.
Sorry to talk about that.
What's your question? What's your question, Batman?
I would like to know, since they're like, the same 5-6 characters appearing in a video game. I would like to know what would you consider a video game that you want to see based on a comic book property?
One that doesn't exist yet.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. Well, this is a little bit of a cheat, I think. But I feel like with Suicide Squad coming out as a movie, a Suicide Squad video game would be pretty awesome. No. And actually, didn't they set that up in Arkham Origins?
I don't know. Did I actually
they
never
did.
Beat Origins? They set up a Suicide Squad.
Yeah, they
really?
Had Deathstroke came in at the end of Arkham Origins.
Who did?
At the end of Arkham Origins, Deathstroke was there, and he gets signed up for the Suicide Squad.
My save got corrupted. Like I opened up the game one day, and it's like your save's corrupted. I was like 6 hours into the game, and I was like, "Well,
later.
See you never."
Yeah,
I guess I lost $60 on this one.
Wow. That's such a bummer.
It was sad.
But I think that would be cool. I think team
I like
games are hard.
I
right?
like a villain game. I'm trying to think of a good villain. Like, I guess, you know, which is sort of like your Suicide Squad suggestion. Like, I don't know who. Is like a Green Goblin game, maybe? Mm-hmm. Or maybe even like a Lex Luthor game?
Well, yeah,
a Lex Luthor game where you're like consolidating power, kind of like
or if it's
Sims
like
Sim City, you're like building the city.
Or like a world domination, like Risk style, except every new area you go to, you have to like fight the hero of that region.
Yeah. Or how about, I got one, Fantastic Four. There's no way there's probably never going to be a not shitty Fantastic Four game. It's just impossible for me to imagine. But what if?
Or movie.
Or movie. They got to do the movie first. But I feel like four people come up with like interesting mechanics. Sue's got stealth levels. Thing's got brawling levels.
Sure.
Reed is puzzle solving.
And like
Human Torch is flying, maybe.
Like Super Mario Brothers 2, you choose which one you want to go in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, I think a Fantastic Four game would be cool.
Thing.
They all have powers that lend themselves to a video game, like four different games. So I think that could be interesting.
Did you say like Super Mario Brothers 2?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
no.
The thing eats radishes, so I think
that's... Yeah, that's perfect.
It's
already
the thing
there.
Is like Toad?
Yeah. Are there any independent comics, like any indie stuff you think would be a cool video game?
There was a Bone video game, right?
A what?
Bone video game?
I think
Telltale
had some Bone games.
Would there an Invincible game? That'd be a great game. There's so much fighting in that.
Yeah, a lot of weird stuff, too.
It could be a classic, like, Street Fighter arcade style.
I'd play a Saga game that took place in the Saga universe, but didn't necessarily involve the main characters.
You just bumped into them every now and again?
Yeah, just something in... Because I feel like that book is like a very deep universe, and like kind of like how the Game of Thrones games are in Westeros,
like,
but don't involve Joffrey.
Yeah, what about
whatever.
Like a resource management game set on Sextillion?
Oh, yeah, cool.
That'd be good, right?
Yeah. That is a good idea. Like, that's a good saga. Is like, you can just, like, pick a little piece of it and break it off and make a whole game out of it.
All right. I know, Fiona people, Staples, give us a
people
call.
People get crazy for managing resources.
I do like that. Yeah. Cool. You're going to get some free comics, and we have another question over there. All right. I'm coming over to you. What's your name, sir? Come over. Oh, God. This is
all I want to do is answer that last question for an entire hour, by the way.
Which superhero has the worst powers of all the superheroes?
Worst powers.
Stiltman. Stiltman.
Stiltman?
He's not a hero, though. Or is he now a hero?
Yeah, he's a villain.
No, he's a villain, but...
What is your deal, dude?
I'm keeping this going. I'm keeping this bit going.
Yeah. Well, you don't know what's going on.
Didn't Stiltman eventually reform, though?
Well, he was just too sad to keep doing making crimes.
That counts.
Yeah, I mean, we could probably all agree Maggot is the worst, right? Do you guys know Maggot? Maggot was an X-Men introduced briefly in the 90s, and he had a couple of powers, but his main power was he had two mechanical maggots that lived in his stomach and would eat his stomach, and then he'd get energy, and he could use the energy, and he could shoot stuff.
He could let the maggots out, and they would eat stuff in the world.
Right.
Whoever hero has the worst powers, they're almost certainly in the X-Men, right? Because there's just like a thousand X-Men with random powers.
Here's my answer, 100%, and I don't know if we've ever talked about him on the show, but Cypher... He's a mutant.
Fuck you.
He's a mutant whose power is speaking other languages.
Which is super cool.
Yeah, there was like a kid in my high school.
It's a power we all have. It's just he's faster at it. A little bit.
He's great.
We can all learn a language.
But not as well as him.
Can I throw out, it's actually sort of useful in how powerful it is. But I would still not want to be Matter Eater Lad from the Legion of Superheroes.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
That was awesome.
I guess he is pretty helpful to have around. Like being able to make anything disappear is good, but you just don't want to be Matter Eater Lad.
It just was unnecessary for him to eat it.
Also, like, to be a lad is so like
yeah.
It's just every word in that is just depressing.
Yeah.
All right, cool. You're gonna get some free comics, and that's it for your audience questions. Woo! All right, guys, we're going to move on to our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
We have to do our readings.
Oh, you got to do your readings. Wait. Yeah. Roll it back. I totally forgot about this, you guys.
I know.
This is a big deal.
It's probably because you didn't do it. That's probably why.
Okay, so last week on the show, we had a little bit of a challenge
that
was put forward. That Pete said he could write an
That's
amazing...
That's not what happened.
Wait, okay, what happened, Pete?
I don't remember.
I mean, I barely got it to you.
I don't remember, but I doubt I started with I could write
the
greatest.
What I said, I challenge you to write one page of a Punisher movie that you want to see.
Right. That's what happened.
And so then I said I would write one.
Right. And I said I would write one, and I forgot.
Great.
Pete, you want to read your
Punisher
movie?
Dude, you've got it. It looks very professional. I mean,
I write scripts, so I wrote it in a script form. What did you write it in?
I just wrote it
paint?
In the notes version of my iPhone.
He wrote it in the blood of a homeless man.
This is just a doodle of
Punisher
shooting
just...
a dinosaur. Yeah, those are just a bunch of pictures of you killing someone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, I had to get into the character.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, here we go. I suck at reading, so this should be interesting.
Great. Let's see how you're writing.
Okay. It starts with a total blackness, and then a light from a screen reveals the Punisher's face. The screen is showing a red dot closing in on the Punisher's location. The Punisher is sitting in the bushes outside of a gangster's house. He's listening to the family next door talk about an evil boss who is trafficking people and drugs. He's sitting outside the house in the dark. Then you hear a click from the safety of his gun. A car drives by, and the reflection from the headlights, you can see a bit of the skull from his shirt through the bushes.
Oh.
You can barely make him out, but you can see the face of the skull.
Sparklers.
Fuck you. I'm not... You know, I'm going to listen to your fucking story,
please... Okay, I'll be quiet. No, I'm sorry.
All right. Then another car goes by, and you see the Punisher has a silencer on the gun. On his gun. A car starts to pull into the driveway he is sitting next to. As the car is coming up the driveway, the Punisher shoots the driver and the passenger as the car is still in motion. He slides the two dead bodies over and puts the car into neutral and slowly backs it out of the driveway. He then goes down to the docks to kill the bad guys who are trafficking drugs and people. While I was waiting across from the docks across the street for the drug traffickers to show up, he's still in the car with the two dead bodies.
Yep. Cool.
Some other guy is standing on the corner, and he's harassing women as they walk by. He yells, "Hey, bitch, I got something for you." The Punisher looks disgusted as he continues to look through his binoculars at the docks. You see a bad guy appear wearing sunglasses and talking about a party. And he says, and then Marco says, and then you see like a slow motion gruesome shot of a bullet coming through his face and knocking his sunglasses off. The other bad guy's mouth drops wide open and the Punisher sticks a stick of C4 in it. The Punisher is talking to him, holding the trigger of the switch of the C4 in his hand. You don't hear what the Punisher is saying. You just see the bad guy nodding profusely and sweating. The Punisher then takes the C4 out of the guy's mouth and says, "Run." He throws the C4 into the shipment container of drugs and blows it up. He then opens the shipping container full of people and walks away. People start to funnel out. The guy who is heckling women runs over to him and starts to say, "Holy shit, did you just..." And the Punisher shoots him in the foot and says, "Don't talk to women like that, asshole."
Wow.
All right.
I like it. I like it. Wow. Nice.
It's a very very feminist piece of work.
Yeah, exactly. All the earlier comments, I guess, are put to bed.
I was wrong. Justin, so let's hear yours, and then I'll judge which one is better.
Yes, that'd be great. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Pete has an advantage. He wrote like a series of scenes. This is just one page. Though I think these could exist in the same movie.
Oh.
Interior alley. Frank Castle, played by an older Thomas Jane type, but probably not Thomas Jane because he's had a couple tries and... It didn't really, you know, work out.
Is that
fucking out.
On there?
Of course it is, right there. It didn't work out.
You're a piece of ass.
Chase is a drug dealer scumbag down a dark alley. Punisher. "All right, you drug dealing scumbag. You've been selling this shit in the wrong neighborhood. And I mean dead wrong." Drug dealer scumbag.
This isn't the Punisher. What the fuck is this?
"What are
this?
You talking about, man?" Punisher. "I'm talking about gun stuff." Frank pulls out a gun, his really painful gun, where the bullets are super pointy. Punisher, "I made these bullets super pointy, scumbag, and I'm going to take you apart piece by piece." Punisher shoots him right in the hat. "Punisher, first I'm going to shoot your clothes, then your shoes, any jewelry you might have, then I move on to your hair." Drug dealer scumbag. "Come on, man. I don't sell drugs. I sell picnic supplies."
Frank, what a reveal.
Frank stops in his tracks. Picnic. "I hate outdoor lunches." Punisher's about to lose it when all of a sudden, Dokken, Wolverine's evil son.
Oh, fuck you. Fuck.
Hold on. Pete, I want to see where this is going.
Yeah. Thank you, Alex.
This is not going to a good place.
Wolverine's evil son, played by a Pete LePage type, appears on the roof.
Not enough money in the world.
Even though he's mostly a forgotten minor character at best, he jumps down and slices the Punisher to pieces. Dokken turns right to camera. "This isn't a Punisher movie anymore. It's a Frankencastle movie." He leaves and then comes back again and slices Frank into even smaller pieces.
Wow.
End scene one.
That is a shitty, shitty.
Oh, boy. This is really tough.
Alex.
Wait.
That's the only copy I had of that.
So for those of you at home, Pete is sitting here now ripping up Justin's script. So I think it's only fair that Justin rips up Pete's script.
Yeah. Give me your phone.
Give him your phone.
You get to smash Pete's phone with a rock, yeah.
I can't decide this. You guys are my best friends. So let's leave it up to the audience, all right?
Yeah.
By applause, who had the best Punisher script, Pete or Justin? We'll start with Justin. Was it Justin's script? Was it Pete's script?
Wow. Yeah.
Happy birthday to you.
We don't have the rights to the song. You can't sing it. We don't have the rights to the song.
Oh, shh.
Yeah, We don't have the rights. We don't have the
rights. All right, before we go, we got to do some trivia real quick.
Right.
I'll tell you what. I don't even think we have time for trivia.
All right. Somebody raise their hand.
Yes, you're going to get $25
worth of $25. Congratulations.
All right, guys. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Day. There's lots of great comics coming out, so you should check them out. Jeff, what should people check out?
Oh, I don't know what's coming out on a week-to-week basis, but I just picked up, because Arkham Knight got me into games, and I was like, I got to read some comics. What should I be reading that I'm not reading? And someone recommended Southern Bastards. And that's actually what I was thinking of when I said...
Very good.
You finish two volumes of something, and you're like, oh, now I just got to wait 10 years. I was thinking of Southern Bastards when I said that. It was so great.
Awesome. Very cool. Oh, you have a pick?
I was going to say Southern Bastards as well, but
great.
Casanova Acedia, is that how you say it?
Oh, yeah, that's a great choice.
Yeah, yeah, number three. Yeah,
wow, you took mine.
All right, because we are running low on time.
Low number eight is my pick.
Low number eight.
Very good. I guess Alex is the only one that doesn't have one.
Mulan Origins, number two. Finally going to find out if they'll make a man out of her.
Yo, I cried at that movie, so it's a good pick.
All right, there we go. Anything you want to plug, Pete?
Yeah, friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live and tell us what movie we should write movie scripts for next.
Yeah, please do.
Don't do
you can check us out.
I want a script of that Clock King movie.
Yes! We'll do it.
Next week. I'll do it too, you guys.
Great. Clock King movie. I love it.
Sure. We're on it. Comic Book Club Live, Nerdist.com for the podcast and more. Also, we have a GoFundMe page if you'd like to help out the show a little bit. Donate a couple of bucks to help us keep it going. Yeah. That would be awesome. A couple of people you want to thank before we go. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Tomer Dar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, and Riley Trahan. We want to thank Jeff for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
We want to thank
so
everybody at Fontana's. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night, 7 p.m., totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Good night, guys.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for coming out. Really appreciate it.